My name is Patrick Mahomes, and you're listening to SB Nation Radio.
Now back to SB Nation Radio, coming to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Well, my betting day is off to a nasty start. 33-19 Virginia so far pounding Louisville. I thought the Cardinals would have more to say in the first half here. They're a plus 3.5 in the first half. I got them plus 7.5 as well for the game. But Virginia, the thought of them coming out flat, not so much. They are having their way right now in their opening game in the ACC tournament from Barclays Center, 33-19 with 3.5 to play in the first half. In the other game we're watching in the Big East tournament, it's 27-24. St. John's hanging the Johnnies close to Xavier, another number one seed in the NCAA tournament, most likely that game with four to play in the first half. All right, let's talk some football, some interesting moves that happened yesterday, some surprising moves that happened yesterday with trades. Both the Giants and the Eagles get going with trades, and we head to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans hotline where you find Harry Lyles, SB Nation. Harry, Matt Peralta, how are you?
Matt, how's it going, buddy?
It's going great. I want to start with the question about Michael Bennett being traded from Seattle and the idea that they're trying to, quote, quiet it down in Seattle. And that's why Richard Sherman might also be on his way out. Do you believe that? Because the Seahawks, that organization has been seen as one of the real outspoken and okay to be outspoken places for players to play.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case at all, because if that was a problem, they would have done this a lot sooner. Because obviously these guys have been together for a while now. I mean, you know, the Legion of Boom and all that stuff, this defense has been together since 2012. So, I mean, if they wanted to get rid of this problem sooner, they would have done it before. It's not like Richard Sherman was out here sitting for the national anthem. It was really just Michael Bennett. So just because they're, you know, socially aware of things that are going on doesn't necessarily mean that's why this is happening. The real reason why this is happening is because the Seahawks want to get younger on defense. This is something that is, and something that you know very well because you're a Patriots fan, is very Belichickian of Pete Carroll right now, because he's trying to get out in front of this team hitting a wall. He's trying to avoid Michael Bennett hitting the wall. He's trying to avoid Richard Sherman hitting the wall after he tore his Achilles last year. A lot of people forget that, and at his age, that's even worse, because first off, that's a very, very hard injury to come back from.
Right.
And so I think these moves right now are Pete Carroll saying, hey, I would much rather not have a couple of seasons where we go 6-10 or 8-8 and try to get out in front of this thing so we can keep competing, because Pete Carroll's also old. I mean, his time is not coming up soon. I mean, it might, who knows, but it's limited. So he's trying to make sure that, you know, he's giving himself a chance.
I agree entirely with that point, and I also think in terms of Sherman's injuries, he had surgery on his left Achilles. He tore his right Achilles after week 10, and there's no telling what a 29-year-old will look like coming back off both those injuries. And Michael Bennett is a guy who has brought not just outspoken social commentary, but he's also been a distraction off the field in some ways for the Seahawks, and he's been a very productive player, but we know how when you start getting a little bit up there in age, productivity starts to drop and his contract is quite large. That's why I think the Earl Thomas rumors are real as well. I think they want to free up as much cap space as possible and try to get draft picks and try to go ahead and rebuild on the fly. Do you think Earl Thomas could be the next one if Sherman does go? Is Thomas next?
Yeah, I think that there's a high possibility there. Thomas has, out of all of those guys, been the healthiest, but he's also got a very fierce style of play. And I think he, probably more so than the other two, is more susceptible to just kind of, you know, all of a sudden, you know, hitting that wall. And so I think that, you know, Thomas is going to turn, I believe, 29 next month, or I'm sorry, May. So, you know, again, they're trying to get up in front of this thing. They want to get younger and kind of build this team similar to when, you know, Pete Carroll got there. Like, a lot of these guys, they drafted. And a lot of the ones that they didn't draft, they were undrafted free agents or guys that they picked up from other teams, and they built that team cheap. That's why they were able to keep it together for so long.
Right.
So this is really just, you know, they're going through the same process again, and it's really smart of them to do it. And it sucks to kind of see it end. Like, I'm not a Seahawks fan, obviously, but to watch them play and just the personalities on the team is a fun team, and it's kind of sad to see that they're come to an end, but, you know, everything has to.
Right. Harry Lyles, SB Nation, joining us here on Pushing the Odds. What also is interesting is that the Patriots tried to get involved and they're in the AFC. Instead, they send Michael Bennett in the NFC to the Philadelphia Eagles. Do you think that's the Seahawks sitting there saying, we had a verbal agreement, we're going to honor it? Or were they saying, we're not going to help the Patriots because we hate the Patriots?
I don't know if it was necessarily that, because I also don't know if, like, Michael Bennett, like, he's a player that is still going to get his money. His production hasn't dropped off. Like, he had a monster season a few years ago, and ever since then he's averaged somewhere between, like, 7 and 9 sacks a year. And he's still, like, really great at rushing the passer. But I think the Patriots, for them, it's not always, you know, trading for the big player. It's trading the big player away before, you know, he drops off. Or, you know, there's a player that has worked well in their system. They think they can dispose of him before they have to pay him, and then they make the next guy come up. So I don't think Bennett necessarily fits that bill. Mm-hmm. I think that could be Sherman just because of his injury. I think teams are going to want to pay him less. So I think Sherman is probably more likely a candidate than Bennett ever was, if that makes sense.
Well, they made the offer, though. They made a better offer than what the Eagles did. They just came in too late. I mean, the Patriots had an offer on the table that was better than the fifth-round pick and kind of just another receiver that wound up getting traded. So, I mean, it was interesting just to see the Patriots even come in at all on Michael Bennett with a better offer. But he goes to the Eagles, and my goodness, you know, when you look at that defense, I know that they want to make some moves with some guys with some bigger salaries, but my goodness, that's a ferocious defensive front. The Eagles just got much better, right?
Yeah, that's going to be pretty fun to watch. And they were already really good last year. I think a lot of people would debate, but you could argue, I wouldn't necessarily say this, but you could argue that the Eagles have one of the best offensive and defensive lines in the NFL, which is a heck of a combination. So it's certainly one of those cases where it seems like the rich get richer, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so the Eagles aren't the only ones picking up a player. The New York Giants in the NFC East, they get Alex Ogletree, former first-round pick out of your neck of the woods in Georgia. Look, he's been productive, but maybe not as productive as you would have liked him to have been as a first-round pick. He signed a four-year extension last fall with the Rams, and now he gets traded for a fourth and a sixth to New York. One, do you like this trade for the Giants?
I can't comfortably say that I do. The only thing that, like, when I look at this and I think about it, I am assuming that they think, you know, their scheme and their fit is going to be better than what it was in LA, and I'm not so confident in that. But I guess, you know, they feel that he's an upgrade over what they currently have there, and they did have trouble at the position last year, so I think they could have made a worse deal, but I don't love it for the Giants. I do like it for the Rams, though. I think that, you know, they got rid of a player that clearly wasn't working there. They signed him to a contract they had no business signing him to, and they got picked. So, you know, I mean, they're still kind of this is another offseason of Sean McVay kind of, you know, washing the team's hands of Jeff Fisher. Even though that deal was done under McVay, it was still a Fisher player. So, you know, things didn't work out. Ultimately, they're still getting picks out of the deal. So I think it's good for the Rams.
I think it's great for the Rams, and I also think it's interesting to see them rework the roster on the fly with Wade Phillips, you know, coming over and getting Marcus Peters and now trading away Alex Ogletree, trading away Robert Quinn. I mean, the Rams defense could look a lot different next year, couldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And you know, the thing is, too, like, it's kind of interesting because it seems like this year more than in previous years, we've got a lot of, like, more moves going on. And this is really just the tip of the iceberg, not just for them, but for everybody, because it's not even March 14th yet,
right?
Which is when the fun's really going to, you know, go and start. And then that's when we might see more trades, which is kind of, like, alarming. There's still so much to be done. and even like after the draft, like this is going to be a pretty exciting NFL offseason. This is one I'm not typically one to be like, hey, you know, like, can't wait for this NFL offseason. That's usually reserved for the NBA and all the fun that they get to have. But this should be pretty nice.
Yeah, well, I think Kirk Cousins being on the market, potentially getting 3 years, $91 million guaranteed from the Vikings, if that report is true, sets off kind of a firework display. And the Jimmy Garoppolo contract he got from the 49ers, I guess, was the first precursor that these teams have got a lot of money to play with, and they're willing to invest, you know, a good chunk of the cap, a good chunk of what they've got towards their quarterback, and there are quarterbacks on the market. If you're Denver, do you go after Case Keenum? Do you think that works for the Broncos?
That's a great question, and I don't know if it necessarily works for them, but I also don't know if John Elway actually cares. And I say that, and I say that not in the sense that, like, he doesn't care about being good at his job. I say that in the sense that he is content with putting somebody at quarterback that he thinks is just going to be just good enough to play behind that defense, because clearly none of the three guys that they started last year could do that. And a lot of people tend to forget that the year that they won the Super Bowl, you know, Peyton Manning hit his wall. Brock Osweiler was Brock Osweiler. And that defense had a, you know, historic postseason and Super Bowl. And I think that, you know, he's fine with playing that hand. If he thinks he can get Case Keenum for less than Kirk Cousins and then perhaps, you know, solidify a few spots on an already, you know, strong defense, top three in the NFL, then he's going to do that. And it's worked for him in the past, so, you know, why not?
Harry Lyles, SB Nation's our guest. Staying in Denver, and I brought up the Case Keenum to Denver situation because they could be active in the trade market as well. It sounds like Aqib Talib's tenure, being a 30-year-old cornerback, is also going to run its course, and Denver could be shopping him. Talib wants to be cut because he wants to go sign with the Patriots. Supposedly, there's a deal in the works with the 49ers to send Aqib Talib up, you know, out west to them. If you're Denver, do you care what Aqib Talib wants?
Oh, that's a really good question. I don't know if they do necessarily. I think Talib has been really good for them, but I don't necessarily see, like, his game here aside from wanting to be cut. Because if I'm Aqib Talib, yeah, like, I totally want to go play for the Patriots too. Like, you know, like, that we've already obviously seen that work. But I don't think they necessarily have a preference. It doesn't seem to me. I think they'd be more inclined to not necessarily go against Talib, because I don't think things have been bad there, per se. But I don't feel like they're in any kind of rush to do him any favors, if that makes sense.
No, and he's been a guy that I don't really think has earned the right to ask for favors. I mean, he's been a problematic player for a lot of franchises, the Patriots included. I don't know if I'd be doing him any favors if I was the Broncos. I know he's been a good player for them, but I don't think I'm listening. If I can get a trade for him, I'm pulling the trigger on a trade, and Aqib Talib can just deal with trying to work its way out of San Francisco if someone's going to give me draft picks for him. It's going to be,
yeah. Right.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, as everybody likes to say, when the time comes to do business, it is a business. So,
totally agree. Harry, great stuff. Thanks for the time today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt. Enjoyed it.
Harry Lyles, SB Nation, covering the NFL for us here on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. We will take a look at the score. Halftime, Louisville's up big. We are approaching halftime for Xavier in St. John's. College basketball action. We'll update you on it next. SB Nation Radio.